Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
And welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show. Today is going to be a little bit of a different flavor. Recently, here as we've started out 2023, I take a day of prayer and seeking God with my entire firm. And it's a day where we can talk about what is going to happen in 2023. What are our personal goals? How do we want to engage faith in seeking after what God has for us? I truly believe that God has a very specific purpose and design for us this year in 2023. So I wanted to share my message with you of what we went through as a firm and just give you some insight and a peek into planning with purpose and what we do. So here we are. Join me today in seeking after God's goals and dreams for you in 2023. And here's part two of the 2023 dreams and goals. Psalm 143:8, show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. That goes back to Hebrews 11:6 again, which is, do I believe that he is? That he is trustworthy? That he is a God who fulfills his word? And because I entrust my life to him. Everything I entrust. That for me, personally, that's a heavier word. I mean, that one scripture right there is actually really makes my heart stop and think about where are the areas where I have withheld my trust of my God. Because I don't know if I can actually engage in faith if I don't fully trust, because it goes all the way back to the beginning portion of what we talked about. So am I fully committed to entrusting my life with him? Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs the footsteps. So this is where I want to get, is that as we toil in righteousness, we need to be listening to the Holy Spirit for the plan of action to accomplish what he is setting up before us. He's got each and every step for us. Would you agree? He's got every step, and he then planted and said, yes, that's a good one for you to say yes and amen to, so I can bring glory through your life to a dying world. And so, therefore, in my heart, I'll devise that plan, but he is going to order the footsteps. Now, here also, I think, is where we get a faith interrupter. Is it, do we just hope for the result? So again, in Ecclesiastes, we just want to skip to the end? Or are we devising an actual plan of faith? What I would suggest is that most of our journey of faith is interrupted because of the lack of planning. And yet, the heart of man devises a plan, is what that scripture says. It plans something to be obtained. Are we actually seeing something that the Father is laying before us? And are we stopping and doing the hard work at the beginning? Or are we just using God as our magic potion again, saying it's going to magically appear if I just say the right scriptures or if I do this, and I am willy-nilly just living life? Or have I truly stopped to say this is what the plan of the Lord is going to be as I pursue this venture called faith, as I pursue what he has dropped before me in 2023? Without a plan, I'm not so sure faith can succeed. But I'm not so sure I hear many believers actually coming to me saying, I have a plan worked out to receive the promise that God has given me. Again, I'll just use my own life. I can guarantee you there have been way too many times when I saw a promise in the Word going, yeehaw, that's for me, and I just expect it to happen somehow. I never stopped. I never got built up in faith that that's who he is, because that's the foundation of faith. And I definitively never created a plan of attack. So if I don't toil in righteousness, like Hebrews 11:33 is talking about, if I don't toil in doing what is right, in fulfilling the step by step, if I don't take the next step, then how can God even order it? I'm not so sure that Proverbs 16:9, but the Lord directs his steps, is talking about I'm living life, and all of a sudden Jesus just speaks, go left. No, it's probably that I toiled with him at the beginning of my vision that I am hoping and placing my hope in him and placing my hope in that word that says, now here is the direction I want you to take. How much planning are we truly doing in our faith journey? If we are expecting more funds, if we are expecting better health, if we are expecting to do better at work, if we are expecting a different, whatever it's going to be, better relationships, have I mapped out the road to success in faith? Or am I just casually saying, that's the promise? I've heard other preachers say that if it's the promise of God, it's in the word, and so I can just believe it. You can't believe without a plan. So how do we get interrupted? I don't know if we've ever get out of the gate properly. And that's a problem. Doesn't it kind of stink? This thing called faith is actually a little bit of work. And that's also what we don't like. We don't like work. We just want Jesus to do it all. Well, he did it all on a cross over 2,000 years ago and now has empowered us by his Holy Spirit. Without counsel, Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Who are you sharing your plan with? Are you getting godly advice? And how many? And are we only going to the people who will say yes to us? That's a problem. Are you going to go to the people who matter, who are going to have wisdom over that circumstance, who are going to speak the hard things into your life? Multitude of counsel, not just Mariana and me. That's a good place to start, by the way. Make sure I have agreement with my spouse. Yes. But multitude of counselors. Who are my people? Who do I entrust? Who do I trust that will really call me out that I'm being a bozo and that I'm off-centered and I've forfeited something instead of staying on target? And ultimately, we know Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, which is where we want to get with our planning. For my thoughts, says God, are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I mean, ultimately, is that not what we desire, is to have that revelation being spoken to us so that we can actually achieve Jeremiah 29:11, that he has his thoughts towards us, and they are good for a good outcome. And so stepping through these scriptures is that we need to toil with the vision that God gives us. It's not good enough just to have a bullseye. How do I get there? So many of you know my story. I went to law school when I was 38 years old, and I believe that that's what I was told to do. Okay, I'm not going to take some massive step without praying about it, having agreement. I shared it with many other people, and I felt that that was the direction I was supposed to go. If I had taken the approach of where I think many of people that I observe are found, if I took the approach that I moved my family from Washington to Michigan, got into a place, started law school, and after the first year, I go, Father, you told me to go to law school. Why am I not an attorney yet? What's up with this promise stuff? What's up with this? I guarantee you there were many difficult days in law school for me, specifically having small kids and a spouse and a whole household to run and needing to work so that income could be coming in. Would you guess that my journey may have been a little bit different than most other people who go through law school, and that there were days where Paul was going, what in the heck am I doing? But if I utilized my faith, like what I unfortunately believe I see too often, which is you gave me this word and I am not sticking to the plan and I'm not being patient to realize the fullness of what has to happen. See, law school is easier, which is also why this is a good example, because they actually tell me this is a 3-year journey. Here are your first classes. You don't get a choice anyway. And then at the end, we'll give you some choices and we'll let you take some easier classes and some things like entertainment law, like who doesn't want to represent, you know, movie stars and sports stars. So we'll let you take some classes that you'll truly never use in your life, but it'll be fun for you. So there's a clear path to success. So if I have a clear path to success, did I really stop after year one and go, God, why am I not an attorney yet? No, I didn't do that because I knew the plan. I knew the diligence and the cost it was going to take to get to the promise. I didn't forfeit the promise halfway through because I felt bad or I had a crappy day or a crappy week or a crappy month. I saw the plan, and it's the plan that kept me diligently seeking after the end result. It was not, believe it or not, I know this might sound just heresy at its finest. It really wasn't the promise that God ever spoke to me. The promise got me moving in a direction. The plan is what kept me on target to fulfill the end result. Did I have to go back to the promise when I had those bad days and emotionally was going, this is tough, God? How am I going to see through it? Oh, yes, you spoke to me, and so I can lean into you. I'm not going to forfeit the plan. I'm not going to forfeit what you gave me. How often do we actually plan our faith? How often do we stop our world and say, I want blank, and I am going to develop a plan of action to ensure, with God's help, no duh, right? Because he orders the footsteps. How often do we stop our world and plan our faith to achieve the sweetness of what we are putting our hope in, which is the word he gave us? I did not forfeit law school after the first year because I had a very clear plan. We forfeit faith. We interrupt faith many times because we don't abide by Hebrews 11:33, which is we don't toil in righteousness. We don't toil through the plan. And so therefore, when we get off track, we haven't established why my patience is going to lead me to the end result. You're listening to a presentation and a discussion with my firm about 2023 and goals. We're going to head into a break here for a moment, but we'll be right back. You can find out more information about what we do at legacyandfaith.com, where there's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com and we'll be right back. Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show. featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Patience is not just enduring. Patience is able to be given to us when we are strengthened by knowing the step-by-step that God has revealed. Because then I see the end result and I see the path to get to the end result. Faith is not just this, I look at the promise, but I don't see from here to there. I use law school as an example. That's a long road. And maybe some of you have been on a long journey of faith where the promise has not come to pass yet. Sometimes faith engaged is very quick, correct? Has anyone had that experience where we put our hope in God, we've prayed for somebody, and it has happened very quickly, maybe even without a plan? Other times, specifically in the big items of life, and I think we know what I mean by that, is that if I'm going to pray for somebody to be raised from the dead, I better have practiced a lot of praying for the sick and watching God move in that area so my faith is built up. So in the bigger things of life, I would suggest we need to have a strong plan of attack of how we are going to engage in toil and righteousness. As a matter of fact, if we look at Matthew 13, verse 44, Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. So there is something that is hidden in this secret. And when a person finds that secret hidden treasure, they just say, thank you, Jesus, and it's mine. No. He begins to toil. He begins to engage in activity, which is that word back from Galatians again. Faith works by love, that engagement, that activity. He begins to be active. He hides it, so he has to rebury it. He's exerting energy. And then for his joy, he goes and sells everything. Now, I don't know about you, but it would take me quite a while to sell all the stuff I have in my house. Now, not everyone has as much stuff. Some people, if you're a college student or something, you would just go, yeah, not hard for me to sell everything I have. But for many of us, we do a great job of being a squirrel and gathering for the winter months. And so we have a house full of stuff that's gathered. This, for me, I think through, this would not be an easy process for me to actually sell. I would have to engage in a plan to actually sell everything off, to gather up my money, to count how much is it going to cost to buy that piece of property where I found it, and actually have a plan of action. So here Jesus is even telling us, when you find something that is worth your pursuit, there's action that must now come into play, and it must take a plan. It takes a plan to sell everything you have. It takes a plan to know how much you need to buy that piece of property so that you can go and actually, for your joy, receive what you just reburied. Isn't it interesting? You rebury the word and you start toiling in righteousness in the plan so that you can actually go and purchase the whole thing. I find this very fascinating. You just don't stand up and start telling everybody, guess what Jesus told me? I found a property with gold in it. What is that going to do? It's going to put the enemy in motion. Other people are going to come and steal it. They're not going to be as nice to rebury it and let you buy it. We need to be wise in our pursuit of righteousness and in pursuing after Jesus and the promise that he has given us. And we need to have a plan. There is a plan here that this person went into action on. So what is our plan? We receive our miracles, Galatians 3:5 says, by the hearing of the word, by that engagement of the word. That is the spark to move us in motion. But we need to toil in righteousness with what the Father is giving us this year. Because I don't want to have something that is presented before me from a kingdom perspective and look back and go, ooh, dang, I missed the mark. I want to hit the mark. And not out of self-condemnation and definitely not out of a works mentality of, it's just, I'm just going to have to pull up my bootstraps and I'm just going to have to like grind through this thing with Jesus. Well, there might be a time when you have to do that, but it's not in the mentality of me fulfilling my own actions and working within my own natural giftings. I want to have His revelation, His thoughts guide me and create the plan for success. And I really think that that's where the parable of the sower is coming into play. We see the word. We have to mature the word. We have to toil. A farmer toils with their land in order for the crop to be built. If you don't toil with the land, then you have that third grouping, which is you have the tares and you have what is supposed to be your harvest, all built in one. And yet the one who brings faith to fullness and to completion ends up receiving 30, 60, and 100-fold with patience. So I'm kind of changing my tune to Luke. I may not be as mad at him as I thought I originally was. I may actually appreciate that word if I really stop and give it credence, and if I really stop and think through that there's other scriptures that clearly support that he actually dropped that in when Jesus said it, and that word patience all of a sudden becomes the beauty of me receiving what I am longing for. The patience means to stay fully engaged, actually. It doesn't mean just sit around and wait. It's actually an action word of engagement. So when we really look at that word, that with patience we achieve the 30, 60, 100-fold, and by the way, then it goes into overflow, that becomes actually the solidifying word in my journey to have uninterrupted faith. That I can put my hope in the promise of God because I believe that He is. I can seek after Him because I believe He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I can engage then in Hebrews 11:33, which says, I want you to toil in doing what is right, in righteousness, in aligning your thought process with my thought process, aligning your actions with my actions, so that you can hear me give you your next step. I don't want to forfeit any more of my faith. I don't want to forfeit any more of what He has put before me to do for His benefit, which is always simultaneously for my benefit. Isn't that the beauty of our God? He calls us into action for our benefit because He has thoughts to bring peace and goodness to us, according to Jeremiah 29:11, to an end thereof. And yes, the end is definitely sweeter, as Ecclesiastes says, than the beginning. But the beginning is actually going to dictate your ending. And so as we think through 2023, as we think about receiving a download from the Holy Spirit today and wanting to engage in faith, then the next step is we have to be willing to listen to Him intimately and allow Him to unfold the plan of action for our success. So it's not about just having a word. That was step one. But step two is that we need to be engaged. We need to have a plan of action with our faith. We need to have His word of wisdom and His download so that we can taste and see how good our Heavenly Father is. Ultimately, Ephesians 3:20 is, I think, where we want to go. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's our God. He is able to do exceedingly, not just a bit, not just a tick, exceedingly abundantly. Two different words. Wow, we're really emphasizing it here, Paul. Above all that we ask or think. So can you ask when you have a vision from Him and you have a faith goal? Can you ask of Him? Can you think about that vision? He wants to do more. He wants to do exceedingly, abundantly beyond that. According, so here is, I have this actually underlined, according to the power that works in us. Faith is a partnership. God is not going to do it. He is going to work through what he has given to us, which is himself, by the way, the Holy Spirit. And he is going to blow the doors off of what we expect of him. I don't want to have an interrupted faith. I want to make sure that I'm diligently seeking after him. That was an interrupter. That could be an interrupter. Another interrupter could be, how am I? How's my faith journey in love? Am I doing it for his purposes? Am I pleasing him, right? Am I developing a plan? Because I think this might be one of the more critical steps for us. Many of us in this room are very mature believers. And so many of the things that we have been hoping for, we've watched God fulfill in our life. And maybe we're facing some of the bigger battles in our life now. I can kind of say that that's probably true for me. That my battles get bigger as I continue this journey. And in order to win the bigger battles, it's going to take more than a whimsical prayer and just seeing a promise in the Word. I believe it's going to take us to be engaged in faith and have a plan that the Father reveals to us. And we're going to have to engage in righteousness to see its final outcome. But when we do that, I think that the journey is well worth it. And I would say that it's going to be sweeter than ever before to watch your family members come to Christ, to watch the people that you love be healed of their sickness and disease, to watch them rise up and begin to serve Jesus, to watch the abundant life that Christ paid for on the cross come and become our reality instead of what we just hope for. That's where I want my faith to be, is to have the fullness of Jesus work in my life and through my life so that I can touch a dying world. So, of course, we all know that in order to start that journey, we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we need to ask him to come into our lives, to even start that seed of faith to believe that he is. And asking Christ into our life is as easy as just simply having a moment of reflection to say, I want to have more from my Creator. So will you come into my life that Jesus can be my Lord? He will cleanse us of unrighteousness and sin so that by the purity of relationship with him, you can engage and start to see that he is a good God, that he has good things for those who seek him, that he indeed is a rewarder of those who passionately fall after him. And that by that journey of faith, you can begin to live an abundant and good and peaceful life like Jeremiah 29:11 has said. So thank you for the opportunity to share this message. I hope it's been encouraging and that you will take and engage in righteousness as you begin to believe with God, for his kingdom, what he is going to do in you and through you in 2023. Engage in righteousness, toil with righteousness, and you will see and taste how good and sweet the Father is. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Legacy and Faith Show. I hope that you have been touched and that what you are looking for and expecting in 2023 has grown. Please join us next week as we return back to estate planning. But thanks for joining us on the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find out more information about what we do at legacyandfaith.com, where there's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. Thank you so much for joining us on this special edition of the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.